Hearing us immediately via podcast rather than shortwave, Alan Rowe reports that Claudius Obrecht says his next broadcast of presumably electronic music.
You know, I was wondering, you know, if you could keep on, because the force, it's got a lot of power, and it makes me feel like it makes me feel like.
Hola, mis amigos. This is El Hudi, and you're listening to WGXC Acra, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears.
You can go there with your family, and you can meet new friends in the library. When you're at the library, you can read lots of books, and you can find any book. There are lots of Dog Man books, which are my favorite books of all. When I go to the library, I read them. And that's why I like the library.
I'm also on a radio show at the library, and there was also a video making workshop that I did, and I did some animation, and I made a lot of new friends, and I laughed a lot, and it was really fun. My main reason of coming here is because it's books. Of course, it's a library, and I really like the wide selection of books, and they have computers and all sorts of stuff. They also recently did a mural painting thing where they painted the computer room in the back, and I got to be a part of that, and it was really fun. It looks really cool now, and I just really appreciate the library for being here, and if I had to choose between this library and any other one to go to, I would choose this one. I really like the Hudson Area Library, and I hope that it stays running for as long as I live, or maybe even longer, because I know a bunch of people that love to read.
Do you enjoy the arts, have an interest in art classes and meeting your local creative community? Then join us at the Athens Cultural Center on the first Friday of each month from 5 to 7 p.m. View our latest exhibition over free nibbles and drinks hosted by our ACC board members and get to know us. We are at 24 2nd Street in Athens and online at athensculturalcenter.org. We look forward to meeting you.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more. Plus, advance notice of close-up conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theater in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Socrates, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org/support. That's upstatefilms.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of One Universal Media of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Paul Kirby reports in the Daily Freeman that almost 13,000 people living in the 18th and 19th congressional districts will go without pay if the federal government shuts down this weekend, according to the Congressional Research Service and New York Senator Chuck Schumer. He said, and I quote, "We cannot afford to let the extreme fringe views of the House Republican Conference risk a government shutdown and needlessly hurt New York families. This is not an abstract issue. If the House GOP refuses to embrace this bridge towards cooperation and away from extremism, the government will inevitably shut down, causing disruptions for millions of New Yorkers to services they rely on, while thousands of federal workers could be furloughed," end quote. Democrats in the Senate have passed a spending plan, but House Republicans are deadlocked with a small group of ultra-conservative representatives blocking all compromises. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said September 28th that he would not take up Senate legislation designed to keep the federal government fully running. He did not offer an alternative plan, so this weekend's shutdown seems inevitable. Republican Mark Molinaro represents the 19th District and, without giving details, said he has a plan, saying, and I quote, "In a bipartisan government, our solution must be bipartisan, and that's what I'm continuing to work on," end quote. Democrat Pat Ryan, who represents the 18th District, said, and I quote, "I'm pushing relentlessly to keep the government open, but extreme Republicans in the House refuse to negotiate. They haven't proposed legislation to fund the government and won't vote on the overwhelmingly bipartisan Senate legislation that would avert a shutdown. Thousands of Hudson Valley families, including active duty military personnel and postal workers, will go without pay. Millions more could go without vital services like SNAP and WIC." End quote. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. Philip Pantuso reports for the Times Union about how Tubby's in Kingston is celebrating 5 years of bringing indie rock, hardcore, noise, and experimental bands to the Hudson Valley. Co-owner Corey Plump, who does the booking for the venue, said, and I quote, "I want it to feel like a different space as much as I can every time you walk in here. There's usually something for everybody if you're of an adventurous mind musically," end quote. And other owners, Katie McElroy, Drew Perino, and Morgan Coy, have made the bar into a destination for bands around the country. McElroy said it began more as a, and I quote, "neighborhood bar that had a few shows a week," end quote, rather than the full-scale music venue it is today. Back then, BSP and the Beverly Lounge in Kingston also hosted similar shows, but they are closed now, and now, Coy says, and I quote, "you'll see touring bands here that you would never see in a venue this size," end quote. Perino said, and I quote, "What's really hard now with businesses is everything has to be a certain thing or fit into a certain ideal or attract a certain kind of people. But we can just do what we do. And that feels like a real privilege," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. New York's Foliage Report says this week, and I quote, "In Greene County, spotters reporting from the upper elevations around Windham predict up to 40% leaf change with green, red, and yellow leaves of average brilliance, while foliage spotters in Catskill predict 10 to 15% change with a mix of orange, yellow, and red leaves. Albany County spotters at Thatcher State Park in Voorheesville predict up to 35% foliage change this weekend with average shades of yellow, orange, and green, along with some wisp of red. Columbia County spotters in Hudson predict 15% change this weekend with average shades of yellow and gold and a few splashes of orange," end quote. Read more about this at New York's Foliage Report online. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
Hispanic Heritage Month is here, challenging anti-immigrant racism. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan in our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. National Hispanic Heritage Month in the United States runs from September 15th to October 15th, starting mid-month when several nations celebrate their independence. On September 15th, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Nicaragua. On September 16th, Mexico, and Chile on September 18th. The month began as a week in 1968. This year, the month coincides with the growing crisis along the U.S.-Mexico border. Thousands arrive daily seeking asylum, but instead finding razor wire hostility and arrest. This flood of humanity is what Democracy Now! News co-host Juan Gonzalez calls the harvest of empire, the title of his seminal History of Latinos in America, as the consequences of colonial interventions abroad by the U.S. government create conditions in impacted countries that residents simply cannot endure. On the day before this year's Hispanic Heritage Month began, a federal judge in Austin, Texas, ordered Texas to remove a 1,000-foot floating barrier in the Rio Grande near Eagle Pass. The barrier, with large orange buoys strung together, separated by serrated saw blades, is the latest and perhaps most grotesque symbol of the anti-immigrant movement in the United States. Texas appealed the ruling, and a federal appeals court stayed the order as the case proceeds, allowing the barrier to remain in place. In early August, a body was found entangled in the barrier. Last week, the bodies of two drowning victims, an adult and a 3-year-old child, were recovered nearby as well. Most migrants face months of dangerous travel before even getting to the Rio Grande River crossing.
Queremos pasar por un mejor futuro.
We want to cross into the United States for a better future. The journey has been very difficult. We have been mistreated. We have been hungry. We have suffered. The children are tired.
Mikel Alexander, a Venezuelan migrant, told Reuters near the border.
We will cross the border so that we can do well, because our country is struggling.
Mikel's story is repeated day after day as millions in the Western Hemisphere flee increasingly dangerous and desperate situations in their home countries.
The historic interventions, military interventions, the sanctions that we've imposed on different countries in Central America, in the Caribbean, in South America, and of course the failed war on drugs are all important factors that are displacing people, creating misery, and responsible for much of the violence, corruption, and impunity in Central America, increasingly in places like South America, like Venezuela.
That's Democratic Congress member Jesus Chuy Garcia speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
That is at the root of what is driving people to desperation, and they're coming to the U.S. seeking asylum and refuge, fleeing terrible consequences, risking their lives to get here.
Garcia, the first Mexican-born U.S. Congress member from the Midwest, has requested more federal assistance for Chicago as thousands of migrants arrive there, many bussed by Republicans like Texas Governor Greg Abbott, in cynical and potentially illegal political stunts. The ongoing influx of migrants, as Representative Chuy Garcia said, has deep roots in U.S. government interventions over many decades, including military interventions in the Dominican Republic, Haiti, Panama, Grenada, the U.S.-backed 1954 coup against the democratically elected president of Guatemala, and the ensuing U.S. support for murderous militaries and paramilitaries in Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, and Nicaragua in the 1980s. Crushing economic sanctions imposed by the U.S. on Cuba and Venezuela echo the dictate issued by President Nixon to the CIA in 1970, launching the plan to overthrow President Salvador Allende in Chile to, quote, make the economy scream, unquote. Latinos have played a central role in U.S. history, yet this rich history is under attack as right-wing interests have derailed a Smithsonian Institution exhibit on their role in the civil rights movement being developed for the planned National Museum of the American Latino.
Our major concern was just to make sure that we were telling a truthful story, a complex story, and a nuanced story about how Latinos have grappled with their relationship to the United States.
Felipe Hinojosa is a Baylor University history professor and one of the curators of the paused exhibit. He spoke on Democracy Now!
The larger and broader questions of who are we and who are we as a community and what is our relationship to the nation were central questions for Latino civil rights activists in the 1960s and 1970s.
The civil rights exhibit has been replaced by one focusing on salsa music. Instead of these complex narratives, we see a rising movement to erase history and supplant it with xenophobic soundbites. This dog-whistle racism buttressed by razor-barbed buoys along the border represents a dark and dangerous turn in our nation's history. Let's make Hispanic Heritage Month a time to celebrate diversity and to overcome the legacy of racism in the United States. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
And now, here is your WGXC Weekend Weather Report. On Sunday, it will be sunny with a temperature high near 73 degrees and a north wind at 3 to 8 miles an hour. And on Sunday night, it will be mostly clear with a temperature low of around 58 degrees. And on Monday, sunny with a high near 74 degrees. And that is your Weekend Weather Report from WGXC. 90.7 FM, radio for open ears, in Greene and Columbia Counties.
But right now, we are joined by Mike Amari, a local event organizer for Opus 40 Basilica Hudson and other places, and Liam Singer, the owner of the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, who is also on Wave Farm's board of directors. And each month they come and preview events from their the show paper in the Chosen Family zine. And this month we're talking about what's coming up in October. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Good.
Nice
yeah.
to see that sun.
Yes, it's after a dreary weekend, it is the sun has returned.
I guess I should preface by saying that all the shows that we're talking about, the show paper, we'll post it on our Instagram.
Yes.
Probably, yeah, pretty much right around the first. And then the zines themselves, the physical printed zines will, with the show paper in them, will drop probably Friday, Saturday, Sunday this weekend. Mm-hmm. And we post, you know, where we're dropping them on the Instagram as well. So if you want to, you know, pick up one of these things or just, you know, screenshot it on your phone or whatever, that's how you can find what we're talking about.
Yeah, and if we weren't clear at the beginning, The Chosen Family is a zine that you guys put out that has all kinds of interesting stuff in it, a very interesting events calendar.
Yeah, we try to sort of focus on small, mid-sized DIY spaces all the way from the Hudson Catskill area down to the Newburgh Poughkeepsie Beacon area and, you know, roughly the Hudson Valley. And you know, it's a kind of nebulous region. It can be hard to know what's going on, but, you know, hopefully people check it out and are willing to make that half hour, 40 minute drive and see something new.
Well, people who live around here probably know how hard it is to find out about events. I mean, I think that's sort of what this is born out of, is like we kind of do some of the research for you, so to speak, where it's like, you know, you might not have to rely on your social media algorithm or whatever your, you know, mailing lists that you're signed up to find out about shows. You can hopefully find out about something.
Yeah, I think we've all had the experience of being on social media and seeing like, oh, this show was 2 days ago.
Right. All the good ones happened 2 days ago. Yeah.
Or when a post says tonight and you're like, please be today. Please be today.
Yes.
It's like 5 days
ago. Exactly, yes.
Yeah, but October, yeah. You know, obviously we're getting into the Halloween season, so there are some good, I mean, Halloween being on a Tuesday, it's one of those funny years where it's hard to know what the
weekend of
what the night is to celebrate, but there's a lot of good stuff
seems
happening.
Like people are banking on the Saturday for sure.
Saturday's
the,
a big
Saturday,
one.
The Saturday before or the Saturday,
Saturday
after?
Saturday
before.
Yeah, so that's like the 28th, I believe. Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff on the 28th.
Mm-hmm. On the 27th, Shadow Witch is playing Half Moon. They're a lot of fun. They do a black white show on Halloween. They're kind of a doom metal band, but they do this the lead singer told me it was inspired by seeing Genesis when he was a kid. They did this kind of black light thing.
Well, it's so very like DIY black light show, though. It's like it's like, you know, he's made his own apparatus for these lights, and then, you know, they wear costumes that are made for it and stuff. It's really it is pretty great. But it's kind of lo-fi in that way too.
And Half Moon has some more stuff than usual happening.
They do.
Month.
It seems like they're a little bit back.
Yeah, they've got two cool experimental shows. On the 6th, they've got Tom Carter, who's a great experimental guitarist. And then on the 14th, Chris Corsano, Leah Bertucci, Ben Vita, Erica Don Lyle. It's kind of a whole big lineup of pretty cool.
Mostly based in the Hudson Valley.
Mostly Hudson
people.
Valley.
Yeah.
I think Erica's touring. But yeah. So that's fun to see. And also a show on the 1st, I think, at John Doe Records. So Hudson's getting
that
some
Laurie
stuff
Goldstein show
usual.
On the
yeah.
first, right? Yeah, yeah.
Well, and Half Moon has that band Baba Commandant
right.
and the Mandingo Band, who are playing three shows in the Hudson Valley. So Half Moon, the Falcon, and then Tubbies.
Right?
Yeah. So and they're an amazing band. I think they played at Half Moon a couple mm-hmm. months ago as well. And they're from, I want to say, Ghana.
Yeah. No, Burkina Faso.
Oh, Burkina Faso. Yeah. So, yeah, so amazing band, and you could, you know, have your pick. I'm sure that one of those places is near you,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, definitely worth seeing. Yeah. And, yeah, we were sort of just discussing which shows to cover, and it has to be mentioned that Lightning Bolt is playing Colony, which is just so interesting. Interesting a venue choice. As we... It's wonder much... in the magazine if they're playing Colony, does that necessarily make them classic rock?
I like that.
All
yeah.
the boomers in Woodstock yes. are going to be out for Lightning Bolt.
Well, I've never seen anyone mosh in there, really.
No, I mean, I think
Super Chunk, there was lots of
was...
pogoing going
uh-huh.
on
okay,
in
yeah.
Colony, which may
yeah.
have been a first for.
I mean, there was. I remember years ago, they did a show there with Fishbone.
Oh yeah, people
and that and that went over really well and
crowd but, surfing.
Yeah, crowd surfing
yeah.
and stuff.
That's
but
it's a little more Woodstock than
yeah,
Lightning Bolt, though.
Yeah, totally. No, Lightning Bolt's like just you know more of an affront to your senses.
Sheer
which,
force.
Yeah.
But with an aging and a sort of aging fan base, I'd be curious to know how wild it'll get. You know, like near the. Near
yeah.
the drums, if people will mosh the way they used to.
Yeah,
and
if they still have that kind of following, like if that following is coming from all over the region to see them and bringing the energy,
yeah.
which I would assume they would, mm-hmm. you know, they don't care what venue it's in. It's like we're here to see
right.
our favorite band, you know.
But that same night at Tubby's, there's a great noise show. If as we say, if the Lightning Bolt shows
competing noise shows.
Yeah.
So you know.
You know, there was a noise show in Cairo on Saturday.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's
it
there's
got
been...
moved here at the last moment, but there was a noise show in Cairo.
Was it in that building on Main Street again?
At one point, it was going to be, and then it moved to somebody's house,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh. like behind Main Street. But it kept getting moved at the last minute. It was supposed to be in Kingston or something.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. I know that there are a couple local noise artists who live in Cairo and have been throwing some stuff there, which is good to see. And there was also happened too last minute for us to list for this month, but there was a show at Nonchalant Gallery on Sunday that seemed very well attended. So mm. good to see things happening in Cairo.
For the first time that I can remember,
yeah.
non-cover bands performing
right.
in Cairo.
Yeah, well, there was like a month or two ago, there was that whole like noise festival,
yeah.
Buddy Fest.
Yeah,
that,
that's Matt yeah, put on.
Moved
yeah,
around
yeah.
a few times over the years, but it I, that
it
was
has
just...
been in Cairo before, his house. I think I went one year. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
George Clanton at Glens Falls House. That's a pretty,
yeah.
pretty big one for all those
Glens Falls House
fans.
Yeah.
fans.
Yeah.
More Cairo.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Round Top,
in
but part
zone.
Of Cairo, yeah.
Yeah.
There's
also, I mean, so, you know, October, I always think of O Positive Festival in Kingston.
Right.
That
right, right.
is, you know, Indigenous Peoples Weekend, the 6th through the 8th. I don't know if they've, like, released the schedule, but, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, if you have one of those days and you can go, you're just going to find something.
I mean, they got Bobcat,
you know,
Goldthwait.
Yeah, which is crazy. I think he's going to be in the Old Dutch Church.
He's not opening for Lightning Bolt.
Yeah, which is great. An interesting venue. Yeah, yeah, and then like this, what would be this Sunday coming up, which is the first, is the final day of Tubby's 5-year, which is kind of a mini festival in its own right, which is in the alleyway next to Tubby's, and it's like 10 bands or something.
Yeah, amazing lineup. They killed it.
Honestly, artists from like all over the world and all over the region. So I don't know if there's
Landlady at Graveside. That's cool.
Yeah.
Adam Schatz, who is Landlady, is a very cool Brooklyn musician who, you know, doesn't have huge name recognition, I guess, but has probably played with someone you love. It's kind of all over the place. What else do we have going on?
While we're listening to WGXC Acre, and we're talking with Mike Amari and Liam Singer, and going over the show paper listings from the Chosen Family Zine.
This was an interesting one. This is on October 15th at the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, the Upstate Films Theater there. Harry Smith's early abstractions. So this is experimental short films that he made that I've never heard about. And a local musician with an ensemble, with a band, Will Epstein, who's an interesting musician in his own right, is like doing a live soundtrack.
That's cool.
That was something that I hadn't really heard anything about or seen anything about, but sounded really interesting. There's a couple cool little like film things going on. There was another one at Orpheum, I think, that's a documentary that's just coming out about like the roots of like Zydeco and Cajun music.
Nice.
That sounded really cool.
I love Zydeco.
So,
has anybody been to the local yet in Saugerties?
Oh, well, yeah, you have.
Yeah, maybe. Just put on a show there on Sunday. Show that I had to move indoors because of the rain from Opus 40. So
how was that venue?
Awesome space. I mean, it's an old church chapel, so it's got these great stained glass windows, high ceiling, you know, wood, everything. So it's cool.
Good.
Yeah, I think for, especially for like quieter stuff, it's like a really
that's what their programming
listening room. Yeah.
Towards.
But they've got, yeah, we've got some stuff there this month. They have, I think.
They've also got an Afrobeat band.
Yeah.
Neva Wartell was raving about how the first band that played there or something was the best band she's ever seen or something. It was some Afrobeat band. I don't remember.
Yeah, the organizers, I don't know them, but they seem to have a history with event organizing, and they're coming out of the gate with some really strong shows.
Yeah, so that's right in town in Saugerties, right around the corner from the Orpheum and from all, you know, the little main intersection there. So I mean, as far as I know, it's the first time there's kind of a legit music venue in Saugerties in a long time.
A nightlife district.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of restaurants and the movie theater, and so there's like plenty to do in Saugerties now.
Yeah.
Skate Time dance party for Halloween hosted by Harana Market. That's cool. That's on the 30th. Avalon, there's a couple Halloween events on the Thursday before Halloween, the 26th. We're hosting a screening of WNUF Halloween Special, which is a sort of modern cult classic Halloween movie.
Yeah, what is that?
Sort of like a fake, I think it's a, I haven't seen it, but it's a fake broadcast from the 80s that I think slowly sort of gets taken over by zombies or something like that.
It's radio.
But
art.
Sleepover Trading Company, that's some folks that are starting this sort of idea of in Catskill of these kind of 80s throwback events. So this is, that one's by them. And
my favorite guitarist in the whole world is playing at Tubby's October 21st, I think, Chris Forsyth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
That's that and the Baba Commandant show are two of the biggest ones I want to see this month.
For sure. Those are really good choices. But yeah, a lot of kind of just local heroes playing this month, too. I mean, I can't go over them all, but just a lot of really talented people from the Hudson Valley, I'm seeing on the calendar this month.
Yeah, so everyone should, you know, check out the show paper, find something. I mean, the great thing about the show paper is that we give these little anecdotes or little descriptions of the shows. So, you know, they aren't from like a press release, and they aren't, you know, totally serious either. So it's like trying to just
they still give you a little flavor of what it might
exactly.
be.
Exactly. So, you know, if something piques your interest, then you can, you know, just go check out that artist's music and see if it's something you want to see.
It's never been easier.
Yeah.